Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us on this New Year's Eve. I'm Brian Weber. The show brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It is the day after Black Monday, but we're still on Jason Garrett's watch. Garrett still has not lost his job. According to reports, he's going to have a second meeting with Jerry Jones in roughly 60 minutes. If anything happens while we're on the air, we'll bring it to you. But I'm not doing 3 hours of Jason Garrett talk. Plus, in the wake of Black Monday, was rather uneventful yesterday. So we'll spin it forward, start looking ahead to Wild Card Weekend. And because not only am I old school, I'm just damn old, I still believe in the power of college football on New Year's Day, dominated by bowl games that matter, like the Rose Bowl. So we'll talk some college football as well. Wall-to-wall football, great way to wrap up the year. Always a pleasure to sit in for Jim. Undeniably, this is the biggest and most important show in our industry. If you've heard me fill in before, you know how much I admire the show as a daily listener for now better than 20 years. I am a clone. The goal is to be clone-friendly, as my man Den Lesk has been kind enough to provide the primer for a fill-in host. I'm supposed to detail all of my clone credentials, but by now I think you know my approach. We want to be interactive. Big fan of the JTP, so tweet at me. It's BW Weber. Emails at RomanHaveATake.com or pick up the phone, 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. I never bludgeon you with guests when I'm in the chair. Just one guest per hour in 20 minutes. We take you around the NFL with an old friend, my co-host from the late great NFL AM on NFL Network, Steve Weich, is still working there because he's just that talented. I'm with you for different reasons. We'll talk about could another coach or two be fired moving forward. Does not feel likely. Doug Marrone somehow survived today in Jacksonville. And we will spend some time on the key details of what to watch for when we get to the wild card games. Reports of the Patriots' demise might be greatly exaggerated. That's on the way in 20 minutes, meaning I can take a phone call or two coming up in 40 minutes, but the mantra does not change. We take phone calls selectively at 1-800-636-8686. To get on the air, you have to get past Garrett Ritt. Yes, he's very presidential. Ike is in the house today. It's a shame we're not on TV. Because when I got to the studio, I had to walk carefully. General Eisenhower is recreating D-Day as we speak. It really is a vivid sight. If I was a more skilled broadcaster, I would paint the word picture. But the beaches of Normandy being stormed. He's got air cover from James Kelly, flight deck, running the board. So we will have a good time with you. Gentlemen, it would have been nice to know we're not on TV. I have a rented tuxedo. I got to get back in less than 24 hours. But I'm feeling regal and ready to talk about Jason Garrett's future, which I think we all know is short term. As in, thanks, Jason, you're fired. What is taking so long other than this is the Cowboys and they thrive on every ounce of drama they can generate. Now, to be precise, when Jason Garrett gets the official word, he is no longer the head coach of the Cowboys, the spin is going to be his contract was not renewed. No. We didn't fire anybody. We're just moving on. A conscious decoupling. I once had a radio boss tell me, it's going to feel like I'm firing you, but I'm not. I'm just taking you off the schedule. I'm the Jason Garrett of talk show hosts. Same exact outcome. And then I looked around and I said, I think I just got fired. So clearly the Cowboys are trying to do this humanely because for all of his failings, and there are many, Jerry Jones, I think, has genuine affection for Jason Garrett. And when I woke up this morning and was looking through headlines just to make sure I didn't miss anything, this one jumped out at me. You talk about the very definition of clickbait. In a stunning twist, Jason Garrett's still waiting to learn his fate. What is stunning about this? When the Cowboys make it official, And we might have to wait until tomorrow to get the news. It's clear that Jerry Jones just wants another 24 hours to dominate the news cycle. He didn't want to have to share any of the limelight yesterday with the only firing that became official. And it was no surprise Pat Shurmur was pushed out in New York, had a worse record than Ben McAdoo. But Jerry Jones wants to maximize every possibility. And when the announcement comes, it'll feel like some sort of national news alert. There'll be a stoic Jerry Jones at the podium. Hell, he's so tight with Garrett, I bet Garrett will show up. And they'll talk about all the good times they've had together. And think about how many opportunities Garrett's been given. Not bad for a backup quarterback. And that gets back to the central point that I believe these reports that the Jones family views Garrett as a member of their clan. There's a reason why when Garrett made the transition to coaching, he was named offensive coordinator before the next head coach was installed, and that was Wade Phillips. And Wade knew he was dead man walking with Garrett behind him on the org chart. Garrett has had a decade to sort this out. And what have we seen over the last 10 years? And we don't have to talk about the Dez catch that wasn't a catch today because we know it was a catch. Other than that, same old story for the Cowboys. Yes, they've won a couple division titles over the last three seasons prior to this year. Yes, I think they have found a franchise quarterback in Dak Prescott. Up to the Cowboys now to decide how much they want to pay him. Knowing Jerry, it'll be splashy, and they'll throw money around just to make another statement and grab a few more headlines. You have Ezekiel Elliott. I wouldn't have paid him that much money because I think it's pretty clear in the modern NFL, running backs are largely interchangeable, but this is the delusions of an owner who thinks he's quote-unquote a football guy because he played college football at Arkansas a billion years ago and won't get out of his own way. But whomever the next head coach of the Cowboys is, step one is, since you gave all that money to Ezekiel Elliott, why don't you use him? Because I can't sit here and come up with the indefensible, I can't create the straw man argument that Garrett somehow deserves to keep this job. But if you're looking for the ultimate catalyst, beyond the fact that Cowboys had one victory over a team with a winning record this year when they stomped the Rams, but the Rams were dealing with their own issues, the inability to figure out you have one of the top three running backs in all of football, why don't you give the rock to Ezekiel Elliott? Oh, by the way, when Dak Prescott has a shoulder injury and the division title's on the line, maybe you run it a few times in Philadelphia. That alone was a fireball offense, along with everything else that went wrong in recent years. I'm not going to handicap who could the next coach in Dallas be. I don't pretend to be an insider. It's tough enough to pretend to be a talk show host. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome, 1-800-636-8686. Coming up, we'll talk to a guy who is plugged in, an actual reporter who says sports journalism is dead. We'll go around the league with my pal Steve Weitz from NFL Network. Whomever is the next head coach of the Cowboys, it really comes down to one simple fact. Is Jerry Jones willing to change anything? Because we have seen this time and time again. Other than Bill Parcells, because of the force of his personality and the strength of his resume, and Jerry was distracted working on the logistics of building that Taj Mahal of football to secure his legacy, really a shrine to his own ego. That's the exception. Everybody else after Jimmy Johnson has been a stooge controlled by Jerry Jones. So if you're buying the Urban Meyer narrative, tell me how that's going to work. In addition to the fact that most college coaches show up in the pros and they don't change their mindset of being a petty tyrant who need to control everything, Urban Meyer's really going to go to Dallas and let Jerry Jones control all the personnel decisions and pick some of the members of his coaching staff? Not going to work. It's not going to happen. I think Urban Meyer, in any pro setting, feels a lot like Nick Saban going to the Miami Dolphins. It's just not feasible. We know it's not going to be Ron Rivera, who was smart enough to act quickly, and he had enough leverage because he had buzz around the league, in part because the Panthers imploded without him, to extract a 5-year deal from Dan Snyder. Good luck there. You got another meddling owner, but at least you're guaranteed 5 years of getting paid, even when you get fired. But it feels like it's the same story all over again in Dallas. Until Jerry Jones either goes to the big luxury box in the sky or has a moment of clarity in his final years that he is the fundamental problem, nothing is going to be different in Big D. And it was interesting, talking about the continuity of errors with the Cowboys, how many franchises stayed the course over the last 48 hours. We got the news as the games were winding down on Sunday. No surprise, Freddie Kitchens, one and done in Cleveland. I am aware this is a Browns house. I know whose chair I'm sitting in. But even Jim, when he gets back from vacation, and programming update tomorrow, if you missed the year in review, second only to the Smack Off in terms of programs that have residents here in the jungle. Going to replay that for you. Then Jim is back coming up Thursday and Friday. When Jim is back, I think he'll concede that the entire Browns experiment was doomed from the start. Freddie Kitchens overmatched, underqualified, and reflected a completely undisciplined team. How many times did you need to see Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham Jr. shouting at the head coach on the sideline, the video of Baker Mayfield jawing with fans in Cincinnati? They need a grown-up in the room. Although it is intriguing, somehow GM John Dorsey is skating. Wasn't he the one who decided, yeah, let's bring an oversized personality, Odell Beckham Jr., into an already contentious locker room? That's going to work out well. There's a reason why the Browns haven't made the playoffs since 2002. They cycle through head coaches. The GMs have been clueless. And now they're hitting the reset button one more time. Some franchises should have done it. Undeniably, the Giants made the right call. There was no justification in hanging on to Pat Shurmur, unless you thought somehow he was the right guy to coach up Daniel Jones. But I think we know who Shurmur is. Beyond his inability to revise the offense, this guy couldn't even handle the New York media. And that's a huge component of that job, which is why his boss, quote-unquote the GM, Dave Gettleman, is smart enough to hide. Gettleman had a press conference today, just a complete clown show of errors and inane comments. Among them, the GM of the New York Football Giants says he's now more open to analytics because he hired, quote, four computer folks to help run the numbers. And then he gave out his AOL email account because he is embracing where football's going now heading into 2020. How did Doug Marrone keep his job in Jacksonville? I realized that Tom Coughlin was the fall guy for those fines that he was handing out because he thought it was 1988. But did I miss something? Jacksonville, 2 years ago, had a second-half lead in the AFC title game on the road in New England, went into a shell because they were afraid Blake Bortles was going to screw it up. Since then, 11 wins. But somehow Marrone skates. Dan Quinn survived in Atlanta? Yeah, they won six of their last eight games this year, and they had a bit of a surge last season. But the franchise has been in disarray since the third quarter of the Super Bowl when they blew that 28-3 lead. And what about the Lions? Matt Patricia has won nine games in 2 years. Jim Caldwell had nine wins in his last season. That wasn't good enough. But Matt Patricia is surviving because it's the Lions. Do I have to remind you, Detroit has been more irrelevant than Cleveland in the NFL? Lions with one playoff win since 1957. It was 1991. But somehow these coaches are going to have another opportunity. And for the life of me, I don't get it. The NFL is all about rapid change. 15 of the last 16 years, somebody's gone from worst to first to win the division. San Francisco wasn't as terrible as Arizona last year, but they rise up from four wins to be the one seed in the NFC, in part because they had the presence of mind to make that coaching change a couple years ago and bring in someone in Kyle Shanahan who's innovative. So if you're stuck rooting for one of these franchises that is going nowhere, good luck, because it feels like for whatever reason, these teams are comfortable just putting in neutral and cruising along. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. The phone number is 1-800-636-8686. Email's always a good avenue. It's RomeandHaveATake.com. Twitter is your best bet. B.W. Weber, a tradition unlike any other. It's Weber with two B's. Coming up, we'll keep the NFL momentum going. Of all the head coaching vacancies, what's the best job out there? How good is the Cowboys' job? When it opens up, we'll take you across the NFL with my good friend, Steve Weich of NFL Network. Just getting warmed up on New Year's Eve. You're in the jungle. I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. CBS Sports Radio, 1-800-636-8686. Emails, RomeandHaveATake.com. You can hit me up on Twitter. It's B.W. Weber. Let's keep the NFL conversation going with an old friend and one of the best in the industry. It's Steve Weich, host and reporter for NFL Network. Follow him on Twitter at Weich89. Steve, happy holidays. How are you, my friend?
Be Webb, good hearing from you. Happy holidays to you, my brother.
Always a pleasure to chat with you. Got to start with the Cowboys. You know, Jason Garrett scheduled to have a second meeting with Jerry Jones today. Steve, why is this coaching change taking so long if we know the outcome already?
Because it's the Cowboys. I mean, that's the only thing, you know, I can think of. You know, props to Jason Garrett for being professional the way he's carrying himself. You know, because a lot of folks would have just said, look, if you're going to fire me, let's go ahead and get it done. You know, kind of like what Ron Rivera did with Carolina when they said, look, we're going to fire you at the end of the season. He's like, well, let's go ahead and get it over with now. So he's going through it, you know, the way he is, you know, props to him. But I have no idea why they're taking this long. You know, who knows if somebody wants to talk to Jason Garrett, another team. And I don't know why the Cowboys aren't going. I mean, I'm sure they're starting their coaching search already. They've probably done that, you know, for the past few weeks, you know, back channel. You know how this works. But just real peculiar, but then that's when you say to yourself, this is the Cowboys.
Steve, whomever the next head coach is anything going to fundamentally change with the franchise as long as Jerry Jones is the GM? Is the next head coach, let's say it's even a big name like Urban Meyer, which I'm not buying, is the next head coach going to be able to achieve any more independence?
Well, independence, probably not. Because, look, I mean, you have to give Jerry credit years ago when – you know, that he hired Bill Parcells and he gave Parcells that independence. But, you know, the Cowboys brand has grown exponentially since then under Jerry, who feels like, hey, it is because of me why so many people recognize the Cowboys. So I wouldn't, you know, ever imagine him stopping these post-game press conferences. You know, I cover the Cowboys sometimes, and that's the first thing you do when you head to the locker room. You find out where Jerry's going to speak. Not necessarily where Dak or Ezekiel is going to speak. So I just can't imagine, like you said, an Urban Meyer or someone of that ilk being okay with that, because these are one-voice guys. You know, it's my voice. I speak for the entire organization. Well, Jerry speaks for the entire organization. So that's why you're hearing names like Lincoln Riley and Matt Rhule, and that's why Jason Garrett fits so well down there, is because he was willing to cede kind of his one voice to keep the position he had for 10 years with the Cowboys.
Steve Weich, NFL Network, is our guest. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Steve, since you talked about press conferences, what did you make of Dave Gettleman's media availability today in New York? I like the line about he's open to analytics because they hired some computer guys. They're going to figure that out. How good of a job is the Giants opening?
Well, I mean, it's always a good job because of that market, and we know about the stability of ownership there. At the same time, it's looking kind of old school. You know, not like in the Rooneys and the Steelers who've run their operation a certain way but have had success, but it's looking kind of old school that they're panicking, you know, firing coaches, hiring people who haven't gotten it done. You know, what is the blueprint? What exactly are they trying to do? I mean, they were trying to stay competitive and hang on with Eli Manning maybe a couple years longer than they should have. You know, what is the deal? So it's an attractive job, again, for a lot of reasons. The market, you've got a young quarterback that you're going to be tied to. You just have to hope that Dave Gettleman will get you the players, that he's collaborative with his coach, and get you the players that he wants. Because remember, in Carolina, when he was there, you know, he got rid of a lot of players that brought Ron Rivera success, and that didn't sit well with a lot of people. So, again, the coach is going to have some say, from everything we understand, in both Cleveland and with the Giants. Whoever the new coach is might say, hey, look, Dave Gettleman can be the GM, but he has only got this much juice. I want to have final say over the roster. And apparently ownership is going to be willing to listen to those types of demands, depending on who the head coach could be. And a couple names you can hear from there, you know, Mike McCarthy, Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule, again, is kind of the hot guy, and that's the name you're hearing most affiliated with the Giants because he's worked there before when Dave Gettleman was on that staff.
Chatting with Steve Weich of NFL Network, he alluded to Cleveland. It was pretty clear that Freddie Kitchens was overmatched, so no surprise, he's done after a year. But Steve, how much accountability does GM John Dorsey deserve for how this season fell apart? Because Dorsey's the one who put the roster together, and he's the one who made the Odell Beckham Jr. trade.
Yeah, you know, my whole thing is, what problems did Odell really cause? I mean, everyone keeps on talking about Odell as being a problem and a headache, but based on what he did with the Giants, I mean, what did he really cause? You didn't hear him popping off a lot. Every now and then he'd give you the passive-aggressive, hey, if I'm here or not, you know, we'll see. But that paled in comparison to what Baker Mayfield and some of those guys did, and that's where John Dorsey should have told Freddie Kitchens, have everybody shut it. But as you mentioned, Freddie was overmatched. I mean, I know a lot of what happened up there, and he was overmatched in a lot of ways. He lost a lot of respect pretty quickly from the players to him. And he had no way to kind of rally himself and regain that respect. And that's where John Dorsey failed, is he hired the wrong guy. But in terms of discipline and some of the stuff that happened on the field, that's on Freddie. General managers, you know, don't tell coaches how to practice. And they don't tell coaches who to play. You know, they may decide on who the 53-man roster is and things like that. But it is up to the coaches to say, here's the fine schedule. If you're disobedient, here's X, Y, and Z. It is my voice that you're hearing. And Freddie didn't do that. And that's much of, you know, again, John Dorsey has to take the blame for hiring the wrong guy. But when it comes to some of the things we saw on the field, the penalties, the lack of discipline, the poor practice preparation, that's on the head coach. So Dorsey's got his share, but the majority of it falls on Freddie Kitchens.
You make a good point. Odell Beckham Jr. was on his best behavior compared to what he did in New York, but the issue was he did virtually nothing on the field. Let's move to Tampa Bay, Steve. We saw the full Jameis Winston experience this season. First quarterback, as you know, in league history with more than 30 touchdowns and more than 30 picks in the same season. What did you make of Bruce Arians effectively saying yesterday, and the quote I think speaks for itself, if we found a way to win with Jameis, we can win with another quarterback?
Yeah, look, I mean, this is him saying, if we find somebody better, we're going with somebody better. So maybe they get into the Teddy Bridgewater market or the Cam Newton market, or, you know, depending on what happens, they get into the draft, you know, the draft market. They're going to be drafting in a place where they might be able to get somebody or trade up and get somebody. And if they can't get that person, then we'll roll with Jameis again. But they're clearly not going to commit to him long term. I mean, and they shouldn't. I mean, look, the biggest factor we're seeing in teams that succeed are giveaways and takeaways, that plus-minus ratio. And that's not going to get it done. You can say all you want about Ryan Tannehill, Pat Mahomes. Those guys don't turn the ball over. Aaron Rodgers, they don't turn it over. So I think Bruce Arians is like, again, if we can find somebody better, we're going to roll. If not, we're going to have continue to deal with Jameis's issues and try to make up where we can. But I can't see them not adding, at the very least, another quarterback if they decide to franchise and stick with Jameis for a year.
Steve, always a pleasure. I appreciate you taking the time. All the best to you and your family heading into 2020. I have noticed, because I watch all of your shows, including The Aftermath, deserves more promo, hashtag no promo. Your hair seems to be getting grayer, but magically mine has gotten darker. What's happened over the last 7 years since we stopped working together?
Hey, man, you found some of that good. I think, according to you, Balco is still alive.
thought you were going to go with a Right Said Fred. I'm too sexy to fill it for Jim Rome. Steve, another contemporary reference. That's why you're the best. Always a pleasure, my man. Happy New Year.
All the best, B-Web. Take care.
Steve Weich is terrific. A real reporter and an individual allowing his hair to go gray on network television. Now, Steve has job security. He was there before I got to NFL Network. He was there when I was escorted to my car after a nice one-year run, which was fine. All good. Not because of what you're thinking. You can Google NFL Network. It was just a parting of the ways. But in corporate America, when your time is up, they don't trust you to walk out on your own. Need the key card? Here's your box for your belongings. I actually left my stuff in my desk. That's how little I cared on my way out the door. But I built relationships. Steve is a tremendous guy. I have noticed, though, magically, and it's too bad we're not on TV, because as I peer through the glass, Garrett Rittenhouse has moved past the beaches of Normandy. He is working his way up the cliffs. Next stop is Paris, I believe, and it's only 40 past the hour here in hour number one. Forget about New Year's Eve. VE Day is coming up. General Dwight D. Eisenhower is flying this plane. 1-800-636-8686. But yes, next time, if I'm lucky enough to fill in the new year, you might notice that the hair seems a touch dark for someone now, 50 years old. And it's just living in SoCal, bro. That is how we roll. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Remember, even with the fill-in, pimp in the box, personal appearance is not show fodder. My favorite, because you guys can be merciless, favorite take on how I've looked on this show. Someone posed this question. What if Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble got married and had a kid? Apparently, that's me. I'll take what I can get. I don't even know what that means, but it's still etched in my consciousness. Coming up, because New Year's Day still has meaning when it comes to college football, even in the midst of this convoluted college football playoff, I'm talking some bowls, and we'll expand our focus. This is right in front of us. Some of this stuff is not that hard. Why don't they play the semifinals on New Year's Day every year? We'll kick that around. And if I'm so inclined and I'm in a generous frame of mind to wrap up the year, I might take a phone call. 1-800-636-8686. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. But first, let's get you a sports update. Justin Shack.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you for wrapping up the year with us as we are rolling into 2020. 1-800-636-8686. Phone calls taken selectively. Coming up, we'll sift through the wreckage on Twitter. A lot of venom out there. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Emails, RomanHaveATake.com. Straight ahead, we'll get to the college football. We'll actually talk about some of the factors that could impact both the games tomorrow. Only the games that matter. Rose Bowl and Sugar Bowl, if you think any of these bowl games matter. Plus, early preview thoughts on the national championship, because we're still 72 hours removed from the national semifinals. 2:40 Eastern, last hour of the program. We'll check in with Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. He really knows his stuff. Coming up, we will start hour number two, debunking the notion that the Patriots are dead. They're not winning the Super Bowl. They're not going to the Super Bowl. But the dynasty is not ending Saturday against Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans. Plus, we'll check in with Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports. That's all on the way. Let me be transparent. I like emails and I like tweets better than phone calls, because I don't trust you, especially as the fill-in guy. So if you tweet at me, I will do my best to read them all, so long as the profanity is not too strong. Let me edit this on the fly. Here is a friend of the program via Twitter, Matt in Vancouver. Hey, Brian, if you need me to take over guest hosting the Jungle for you again today, just hit me up. I don't remember the first time, but okay. P.S., why does your voice always sound like you're calling a varsity basketball game? Well, I'm not doing JV or freshman. And I know you'll be watching on Friday when USC takes on Arizona on Pac-12 networks, live from the Galen Center. Women's basketball, The women's game more fundamentally sound Arizona with the longest winning streak in all of college basketball. Although I am clutching this microphone like I'm ready to do the PA, right? A power forward. You wouldn't be a power forward. Maybe a guard. He once was the supreme Allied commander, Garrett Ritt. Darren in Kuna tweets, does Ira Craig have a spare room in his refrigerator box for me? Sincerely, Jay Garrett, formerly of Irvine, Texas. Not yet. Not dead yet. That meeting's coming up in just over 10 minutes because they have to meet for a second time just to go through all the particulars. Jerry, the contract's not being renewed. We all know the answer, but milk every ounce of drama out that you can. Emails, B-Web, Happy New Year. My New Year's resolution is to stay on hold at 1-800-636-8686 for the entire year. That's Matt in L.A. Brian in Charlotte with an email. Taking a shot at Matt in L.A. He swerved me there. War Brian Weber being inducted into the Bowling Hall of Fame by Pete Weber, no relation, both of them doing the crotch chop celebration simultaneously.
Scrivens has an answer.
Intercollegiate Bowling Championship circa 2006. B-Web, I don't understand the big deal keeping Jason Garrett around. Cowboys still number one as far as these guys are concerned. Sincerely, Jerry Jones reading the Forbes list of the most valuable franchises. That's Eric in Colorado. Finally, good to see, even though we're not on TV, let's edit that on the fly. Good to hear that Steve Carell's Microwave Leftovers are hosting the Jim Rome show today. Jeff in Lincoln is obsessed with me being in a microwave. I'm fairly intelligent. I'm not going to read the whole academic resume again. Nobody cares, and I've squandered too much education to be shouting into this microphone like a JV basketball announcer. Jeff in Lincoln wants me in the microwave. I guess the implication is my face is smushed. I don't know. Smush Parker. Look, it's L.A. I could hit a doctor and look very different the next time you see me come spring. And that is forward promotion. You have to keep it dialed into CBS Sports Radio and the simulcast when it returns when Jim is back on Thursday on the CBS Sports Network. Tomorrow, college football takes center stage. Although, as you watch the games, I want you to continue to listen to the program. Because the year in review will be replayed tomorrow for longtime listeners. Yeah, the smack off as the most important day in the jungle, followed in the second position by the year in review. Appointment radio, if you missed it, when Jim signed off his work year, you can catch it again tomorrow, the encore presentation. But as you think about how your January 1st is going to go, even if you don't want to watch college football, what are your options? You're going to watch hockey? Yeah, the Winter Classic looks interesting on high def, and it's going to be a spectacle with over 80,000 fans at the Cotton Bowl tomorrow. There's some NBA as well, but nothing says the new year like sitting on a couch, nursing that hangover, and watching college football all day long. And at last, we have some games that have some history behind them and have some matchups you might care about, even though the whole thing has gotten reconfigured. Just felt odd to have the Cotton Bowl on Saturday and the Orange Bowl last night, and Virginia's playing. Makes no sense to me, although Virginia had a very solid year. But for those of us who believe in tradition, January 1st comes down to the majesty of the Rose Bowl. If you care about the game, should be a good one with Oregon and Wisconsin. If you've never been, I recommend it. If you're in our business, certainly on the bucket list. I was lucky enough to cover that game kicking off the new millennium in 1999. Yes, I'm old. That was Ron Dayne running wild for Wisconsin. Tomorrow should be a showcase for Jonathan Taylor. But my one piece of advice to you is if you're buried in the snow in the Midwest, watching the Rose Bowl, use it as a mental holiday when you see the blue skies and mountains in the background. But don't jump to the quick conclusion. That's where I want to live. No need to pack up the U-Haul and move here to Southern California. As someone who's lived here for 17 years, let me tell you to pump the brakes. We already have too many people. I don't need to sit behind you on the 405. So hang where you are. Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, you'll be much happier there. But from a sports standpoint, it is a sports show anomaly after all. At least we have some decent matchups coming up tomorrow, because other than national semifinals, we've gone through the standard 2 weeks of lame games you wouldn't watch if they were played on a Saturday in the fall. And that's my test. I understand many of you are lucky enough to have a lot of time off at the end of the year. And we all get tired of speaking to our family. So if there is a football on your screen, you'll watch. But tell me you didn't watch the Boca Raton Bowl between SMU and Florida Atlantic. I wouldn't watch Cal and Illinois if they played a regular season game, so I wasn't watching them yesterday. Although I thought it was the Red Fox Bowl. That had me interested. If they went down to Grady on the sideline, I'm there. Instead, it was the Red Box Bowl, whatever the hell that is. And so much of college football is atmosphere. That's what makes college football Saturdays so unique. It's the quantity. The games kick at noon Eastern, and you can watch them all the way deep into the night, Pac-12 after dark. And it is the lively energy at the stadium. You got stands filled with young people who haven't had the life sucked out of them yet. But when you watch these meaningless games, and they are TV shows, that's the only reason they exist. Because somebody's watching these games. They're doing a number. And they also line the pockets of the old guys in their magenta polyester blazers. But if I'm going to watch a game, if I have no emotional connection to the actual teams on the field, and I'm not a degenerate gambler, there's got to be more than 27 people in the stands. At some point, they should just move these games into a TV studio. Fake it like the moon landing. At least there'd be some energy and atmosphere. Like studio wrestling at WTBS in 1983. Because these games are lifeless. And I know you're already mapping out your early schedule in 2020. You'll be watching the Lending Tree Bowl on January 6th. Because anything can happen when Louisiana Lafayette gets together with Miami of Ohio. But our patience has been rewarded. Tomorrow, at least, it is the Rose Bowl. And then we have the Sugar Bowl late at night. But because the playoff that we all clamored for decades, has arrived, and it is supremely flawed, the dynamics of January 1st have changed. Not every year. Occasionally, we get lucky, and the Rose Bowl or the Sugar Bowl are in the rotation. It's coming up again. But it just was strange to me, although Clemson, Ohio State, a game for the ages, and I don't want to talk about the officiating in that game because we waste too much time talking officials this year, especially in the NFL. But having to sit through that beatdown applied by LSU to Oklahoma, we got the payoff in that second game. But wouldn't it have felt even more historic and have more prestige attached to it, and certainly have generated a bigger TV rating if it was played on New Year's Day? I mean, the solution seems self-evident. The Rose Bowl is bulletproof, always gets a big number. Why couldn't you play one national semifinal before the Rose Bowl and the other one after it? And I realize you'd be hurting some of the other bowls. I don't care. Most of these bowls shouldn't exist. And don't talk to me about the 18 playoff. I know it's coming. Just follow the money. You ever have any doubt in life, do the math. But when we get there, remember this. College football playoff is controlled by the Power Five conferences. They're going to demand automatic bids for the five champions. What's going to happen then? The regular season is going to be even more devalued because nobody's going to play anybody non-conference. Why would you? Why would you run the risk of injuries when all you have to do is focus on winning your conference and you're in? So a game like Oregon-Auburn, which was dynamic, will fall off the schedule. And we already know there's the imbalance that the SEC and the ACC only play eight conference games. Why? Because they can do whatever the heck they want because the system is broken. What's going to change? Nothing. Because we're all addicted to football. And if there is pigskin on your TV, you're going to watch. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber. Straight ahead, back to the NFL. Jason Garrett scheduled to have a second meeting with Jerry Jones coming up in the next hour. Plus, is the Patriots dynasty really going to end on Saturday? Not buying it. I'll tell you why. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, here on CBS Sports Radio.